Chris Ramsey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, June 8th, 2016 edition of the program, broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. Happy Tuesday. Happy almost summer, almost equinox, almost middle of the baseball season. I'm not sure if it feels like that. I'm wondering if anyone else just feels like the big picture or the appreciation for the rhythm of everyday sports as we continue to get into the summer is as great as maybe it ever is for you. But I think I appreciate more the day-to-day ups and downs. Like, as weird as that sounds, I appreciate the day-to-day struggles or the winning streaks or, you know, the frustrations or the injured list. I seem to, or at least I try to appreciate everything a little bit more. I know that we say that. I think that's one of the easiest things in life to say is like, I'm going to stop and smell the roses. And then we go back to staring at our phones and having our heads, you know, up our asses and doing whatever we do. But I'm going to really try, just as a sports fan, to, you know, soak it all in. Like, to soak in the fact that it sucked that John Rahm had to withdraw, if you're a John Rahm fan or you were invested in him or whatever. But the fact is, if you think about it big picture, it's pretty remarkable what's happened with sports and what's happened with the return to play in terms of, you know, keeping teams on the field or the court or keeping players going. So, I don't know. I've just been thinking about that the last day or two, and hope that's not too sunny side up for some folks in a world of social media sniping where we like to you know, yell at each other before we even listen to what the person was saying. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to feel optimistic today in the Ophthalmology Associates studios. Ophthalmology Associates, the doctors. Doctors, that's where we're broadcasting from. That's where Tim McKernan's going to join us from. In just a moment, Tim going to be with me to break it all down, as we say. And I want you to break this down. Your eyes deserve the absolute best. Your eyes deserve the best. Doctors, your eyes deserve the best care. Your eyes deserve the best attention. Your eyes deserve Ophthalmology Associates. They're called the doctors, doctors, because more doctors trust them than anyone else. So it's pretty simple, right? Like, if doctors trust them, then you should trust them as well. Trust the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Go to their website and see what they can do for you. YourEyeDoc.com. YourEyeDoc.com. You can set up an appointment. You can learn about the options for telehealth if you're not able to get into their offices. You can do everything at youreyedoc.com. And then I want you to give them a call at 314-966-5000. You ever get to that point where there's just clearly a question you should ask about something because you don't know the answer, but you're too, for whatever reason, like I get for some reason self-conscious about this and like I don't ask the question. If you don't understand something, that's okay. That's why they have their great staff. You, listener, yep, you, I'm pointing at you, you are not one of the best trained and practicing ophthalmology experts, you know, as far as the eye can see, pun very much intended. They are. So ask your questions to the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Go to the website, youreyedoc.com. Tell them, if you don't mind, you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show. We appreciate that, and we appreciate broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. Well, look who it is. Tim McKernan joins us on the Chris Raby Show, Ophthalmology Associates Studios. Go to youreyedoc.com. What's going on, man? You are back in St. Louis, and you have a few months of Florida golf under your belt. How's the game? Your handicap is going down, and golf handicaps, for whatever reason, just have kind of been a hot topic of mine lately.
Yeah, they really have. You've been kind of tracking Fred Friedman's. And also, Iggy just created a Gen Con a couple of weeks ago because we have a big member guest coming up. He is the guest. And we're looking forward to seeing if he can carry over the momentum from his win over Fred Friedman into this member guest. I'm excited about it. When you can rise to the occasion and beat a plus three index who fired, what would you describe it as, a tidy little 85 from the white?
Yeah, just a workmanlike, just a lunch pail 85.
Then you've got momentum. And so I am looking forward to, and I can tell you something during the radio presentation, when I talk about Iggy being my guest for the event, a number of members who listen to the program are texting in, and they are now becoming hip to the fact that this really is a pairing, and it will be on the premises for what I think is going to be a glorious Sunday charge as we try to navigate our flight.
Yeah, like, is he going to be, like, cooking his own dinner on the side of the ninth fairway? Like, I guess on the side of the ninth green, I should say. Like, you know, roasting like a squirrel over a Spitfire.
I am anxious to see how the whole thing goes down. I think he is a dangerous, dangerous partner because he's an 18.7. You know, the number has kind of gone. There's now 105 entered as one of his scores.
Yeah, it's a fluctuating number. Yeah, open for business. I feel like, and I'll put myself out there. Hey, anyone, you know, especially if you're a member at, you know, St. Louis or Old Warson,
right.
I am making myself available for member guests.
You are available this summer.
Yeah, I feel like at a 12, I feel like I'm kind of in Iggy's boat. I'll have some blow-up holes, and I'll have some issues. But, you know, I can string a couple together like Freddie Friedman. I can put a couple holes together. I feel like I could help a team out.
Here's the difference between you and Iggy, and it's just an assessment. It's not necessarily
where do you want to start?
Specific to golf. We'll do another podcast on the other. But you can go on a birdie run, but you're going to have your blow-up holes, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
Iggy to me is going to have probably, you know, like I said today on the radio, a 2 out of 9 holes where he's just going to be out, and he will tilt. But then he's just going to kind of be this steady bogey, so 5 net 4 guy. And, you know, in these kinds of events, those kinds of guys are valuable. So, you know, he has been selected, and he's getting a haircut from Oreen, which may be spelled O-R-E-E-N or O-R-E-N-E. And he is getting all polished up for this big event. It's huge. It's huge. Absolutely huge. I don't know who's covering it. Doug, we gave him exclusive rights, but he has turned it down. So we'll see if Rich Gould will show up.
Yeah, I think I went the other day. I was playing great on the front, and I think I had like 12 putts on the front nine.
Holy crap.
And I had 24 on the back nine. So anytime you could,
you had 24 putts on,
or nine. No, 20 putts on the back. I had like three jacks on the back nine, and I knew that I'd regress to the mean. I still got, you know, I knew it was going to end at some point. And so much of that is mental, because I always tell myself I am playing too well, this is going to end, rather than thinking, wow, I'm playing well, what am I doing to contribute to, you know, having 6-1 putts on the front nine. I don't know why I can't think like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, I'm like, oh wow, I'm, you know, this past Thursday, I was 2 under going to number nine, and I'm like, and I, you know, had a drive and a 140 yard shot to the green, and sure enough, just like I absolutely, you know, botched it and wound up doubling it just to make sure that there's no way I could be in the red going into the back nine. I mean, it's just,
and like, you dread the fact that you know it's going to happen.
Yes, that's the other thing. So you kind of get to a point where you got to get comfortable with those kinds of things. There is, I think, a process. At the same time, I think that I don't know if it's a learned thing or if it's something that some people either just have it and they like have the clutch gene and then they have the choke gene. I don't know. I think on the PGA Tour, there are guys who, if they are protecting a lead, you know, on Sunday, they're going to have problems.
100%.
Give me three that come to mind right when I say that.
Tony Finau.
100%. I got two. I wonder if you'll get the other two that I'm thinking.
All right, let me think real quick.
Recent headline, relatively recent headline.
Oh, Rom, because he's so volatile?
No. I'm actually not thinking of Rom.
Recent headline. I don't know. Who do you have your second guy?
Xander Schauffele.
Oh, and he's spoken publicly. He's like, I can't close golf tournaments.
He did it in Hawaii with an event, and then obviously he blew it over the green when he was, in the water, when Matsuyama blew it over the green at the Masters.
Let me real quick trying to think of number three. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of the guys who have cost me money. I don't know who. Patrick Cantlay, maybe? I thought he was going to blow it a couple days ago, because whenever he like falls back on a Sunday, it's because he misses like a bunch of 4 and 5 foot putts, and he did that this past Sunday.
Who's your third? Ricky Fowler.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he hasn't been there in a while, but I remember he won the 2018, I think it was.
Players.
It was a Honda. He did win a Players, but I can't remember. He won the Honda in maybe 16. I'm trying to think. Thomas won maybe in 18. So he won in 17. And Johnny Miller was still broadcasting at the time, and he was the leader. And Miller kept saying,
I remember Rick, Patrick Wisdom and I were following him down the 18th fairway. Yeah.
And he was going, Ricky and Sunday leads. And then I think he blew one into the water on five. And some of the PGA players, I think, were irritated that he kept bringing that up, because it's almost like you talk about a guy with the yips. So it's really frowned upon. I've always said, since Sergio won his Masters, that had Justin Rose, not two putted or whatever, Sergio wouldn't have made the putt that he wound up winning, because he knew he had two putts to win, but then he wound up making the putt. And my bet is he would have stood over it and not taken the line that he took. And he sold or whatever. It's just, listen, this is a guy who's won the Masters and been one of the greatest players in the world in the last 20 years. It's there are very few Tiger Woods, but there are, for every one Tiger, there's however many that don't have it. And it's a weird, it's kind of something to know to bet. Like, for example, on the other side of it, when P. Reed is at the center of a controversy, he's going to win. It happened earlier this year at Torrey Pines. It's just how he is. And you kind of, once you become,
he thrives on it. Or if he's in a hostile environment, like international play.
He thrives on it.
Or how about Dustin Johnson and the thought that he almost is maybe not at a sophistication level to process disappointment?
Have you heard this? At the same time, and he kind of had a choke vibe, people thought anyway, like when he had the huge lead at the Masters and then he put it away.
People like talking about how he bounced right back after Chambers Bay, and like they're saying that could have ruined someone's career. And he like that was before he became like number one player in the world, right? And I've heard people specifically say that like on the course, if he hits a bad shot, he's just like, and just like kind of shrugs. I know that's boiling it down too simply, but you're not breaking the club. You're not screaming or, Bryson DeChambeau-ing a cameraman. You're just kind of moving on. And I don't have the mental capacity, I guess, just to flush it or move on. And then if I hit a great shot, I stick it to 3 feet. I'm like, I'm the greatest golfer in the world. And then I make a triple bogey on the next hole. I have no consistency. I need a mental coach.
Huge part of it, man.
Tell me what the deal is with, you mentioned the Gin app at the beginning of our chat. And I've found lately in life in general, like my buddies and I, this will be our 11th year going on a trip. And by this point, everyone needs a gin. We've got to be buttoned up. We need to know everyone's handicap. And the couple of guys who were the last to trickle in were like, I just don't want to sign up for it. Like, it's a pain. Like, I use this app. Do you find that people in life resist things because of perceived inconvenience? Like, I don't want to go on a website and put in a credit card for 2 minutes in my billing address. Like that, I was going through that this morning, and I was thinking about people resisting like signing up for a gin. Like, if you're a golfer, I would think that would be the first thing you'd want to do to track your progress. Yet there are still people I know who have played the game for ages who are like, it's just a pain. It's just a pain.
For the life of me, and it's like, okay, it's $25. Well, you can get a free one at the Grint.
I don't even mean the money. Like, just like.
No, I get what you're saying, but I actually talked about this because somebody asked about it on one of my podcasts a few weeks ago, and I said, here, I'm doing it right now as we're trying, and this is even now, it's even more spread out. And I don't know what the reason is, but I use Golf Logics. I really nerd out and track my stats. It's not
so healthy. You put in every hole by hole score, what you did, where you hit it, if you hit
chip, green and regulation, putts.
Walk me through a typical hole, what you're doing on that app.
Well, I get done with the hole or I get done with the round.
Nice hole,
Kai. I can remember it. Nice hole, Kai. And I will then enter
you
in.
You can do it at the end of the round?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a weird brain.
I know. It's not, like I said, I don't think it's healthy, but I know that I do it. And so then at the end of the round, I'm coming off of two of my best rounds of my life, actually back to back, two different courses. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, what was the consistency there? And I'm like, okay, I hit 10 out of 18. I'm looking at now 10 out of 18 greens and 27 putts, which is super low. And 6 out of 8 up and downs. And that kind of gives me an idea of what, you know, what was working and then, you know, what maybe, why didn't I, you know, capitalize on the fact that I was on in 10, 18, you know, and just get an idea and where, okay. And then I'm like,
so you start aggregating putts, right, as much short data as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I miss putts left, right, short, long? So you can get an idea if you wanted to, you can really go into it and get your strokes gained. The decade golf system, which I know like Will Zalatoris, for example, there's going to be a lot of guys who are doing that, which is really basically, Chris, viewing each hand, or excuse me, each shot, like a hand of blackjack, so to speak, or poker, I guess would be a better one for me. And I don't know for people who play poker, but like, okay, am I ahead in the hand? If I go this way, you know, am I 75% to do this? Okay.
Where do I have the best statistical edge,
right,
based on my position?
So, and then you start doing that. And then once I started doing that, it's like, why in the hell am I hitting a 3-wood to try to reach when I'm 275 out? I know I can't get there. I mean, and on top of it, if I do hit it perfect, maybe I've got like a weird, like 45 yard shot.
Right.
You know, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit a 4-iron and leave myself whatever. I'm just, you know, whatever. I want to leave a 100-110 yard shot. And you think of it that way. And now you've also taken out of, you know, your shot dispersion is going to be higher with a 3-wood than if you do hit your irons better. And it just like it. And then, you know, I'm going to hit the ball better. And then it takes that out. And now it becomes, it's like, okay, now this, I'm playing through the wind in Florida in the winter. And that's a different deal than, but it does help. And you think through the golf course that way. I got that with talking. I talked to Skip Berkmeyer about it. I said, what is this decade system I'm hearing about? And he was telling me what it is. It's basically like every shot is a poker hand. And if you are not a favorite to win, don't hit the shot. You know, don't take it. Unless you're like two down in a match and you just kind of got to do it. But yeah, there's no reason to do it. And so you think through things that, like, I'm looking at this, like the one with the Golf Logics, and I shot the 74. This was the one where I doubled number 9. And I only hit 9 of 18 greens in regulation, and I only hit 6 fairways out of 14, I guess it is. But I still was able to, you know, I guess I had 3 birdies.
I wonder, when you're not hitting greens in regulation, that probably, though, means that your next shot – you're closer in proximity to the hole, and I
100%.
Bet you had a bunch of one putts. Yeah.
100%. So on that day, I was 3 of 6 up and down. So I like to have that. But the reason I bring it up was what you asked about the GIN app. So this is Golf Logics, which also has a handicap. My handicap on Golf Logics is 7.8, but my handicap on the GIN app is 3.9.
And is it so weighing the handicap of each individual hole and what you get on it?
I have no idea. Somebody has told me that the Golf Logics app doesn't include 9 holes. So when I'll enter a 9-hole round, it doesn't include it. Whereas GIN, it doesn't include it until it's combined with another 9-hole round. But then combines them.
Do you still go hole by hole on the GIN app after the fact?
You don't have to. You can just enter your score.
Right. So which do you do?
I enter hole by hole stats. It's not in depth into the
GIN app. Oh, okay. My only thought was maybe Golf Logics is taking into account or weighing differently what you get on each hole versus what each hole's handicap on the course is. That was my only thought.
No, it would be for adjusted if you like at this point, I don't even know, but like I can't get more than a double bogey for my net score.
Yeah.
So my handicap can't go just skyrocketing if I get a 10 on a hole or something like that. So anyway, because it came up with our show, that it's like, well, why do I need to get a GIN? It's like, you don't have to. I couldn't care less if somebody does, but just so you know, there are events that if you do want to play them, if you don't have a GIN ID, you're not going to be able to play them. Now, the Fan Page Club Championship, a source of great interest on the part
sure.
of your your new 30 for 30 campaign with the Iggy versus Freddie Friedman showdown. It is just tell me what your handicap is and away we go. It's a unique
Everyone
system.
Knows what I should.
But you know, for like Iggy had to get, I said, Iggy, I want you to be my member guest partner, but you need to get a gin app. And so he did. And so, you know, I each morning, cause I feel like he plays on a fairly regular basis. I see what the scores have been entered. And so the most recent score was a 90. And then the one before that was a 105. So there's kind of our delta.
It's like dad waking up and looking at his daughter as a freshman in college's credit card statement every morning. And just
I look at Iggy's handicap to see where we are.
I need to
23 for our event.
I'm upset at myself now thinking about this, that I don't take advantage of all these apps and this tracking and this technology, because I guarantee that if I saw the patterns or the consistencies, because if I see them in a round, then you can address them and that's how you get better. And, you know, I'm sure that there are areas in which I struggle, but I keep struggling in the same way. I don't know if I'd improve it, but it would almost be like if you, you know, bought a new car, but then you turned off like a bunch of the technology in the car that makes your life easier when you drive the car or helps you learn about your trip or about the efficiency of the vehicle. You know, all of these things are in our phones already, and I'm changing the music or doing whatever or looking at something or, you know, taking video of someone's swing. I might as well input all of the data and just take the extra minute or two, because then you can try to take stock of it at the end of the round. Right now, I've just got a bunch of scores, but I don't really know what they mean outside of adding up to my handicap.
I love it. But I mean, but like I said, I don't think that this is necessarily healthy. I want to make that clear. I mean, I have a spreadsheet, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, this isn't for golf, but it's for like what I ate, what my caloric intake was, what I did with my workout that day. And this goes back to 2006. If you said, hey, what'd you eat on July 9th, 2010? I'd be like, let me pull it up for it. I mean,
do you have it handy?
Sure. You want to do
okay,
it?
Okay, let me pick a day. How about my 21st birthday, which was June 21st, 2007?
All right, let's pull it up.
Because I know what I ate that day, and it was about 800 beers from Big 12, because I was in Columbia, Missouri that summer.
Let's go. Now, it really started getting it.
And I had Greeley, and I had Greeley Kyle's.
My recovery.
I had Greeley Kyle and broadcast 3 the next morning at 8 a.m.
Oh, wow, that's a tester. So I'm right now I'm in 2014. We're making our way back.
Hold on a sec. You're breaking it. You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, hold on. Talk for me for a second.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's just like it's like. Burr, burr,
burr, burr. That's because I'm clicking on my tab to get to my.
Oh well, go ahead and get to it, and then we'll. Right.
But I mean,
this
I've got to go back.
This is I'm excited about this. Legitimately.
Yeah, like it really started getting intricate. Like in I'm still 2006.
What if it just says ass on that day?
So let's see what was the date again?
June 21st, 2007.
Well, that was a Wednesday.
No, that was a
It was a Thursday. There's one tab that's 2006, 2007, okay. And it was not as intricate. And then it goes July 2008, and then it is a specific. Every single
All right, give me,
day
give me
since
the first,
July 2008.
Give me the first June 21st that you have
All right,
daily. So 2009.
That'll be 2009. You're exactly right. Oh, I didn't keep it in 2009. When did I get back into it? Looks like December 2009.
All right. Give me.
Yeah, I'm all over it. I'm all over it in the 10. So let's see. June 21st, 2010. 163.4 pounds.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah, really, really impressive.
Beefcake.
Which is the weight of what, like a 14-year-old. And
or like Justin Thomas, I think, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I bet Justin Thomas, I'll take the under on 163 for him. And I had a Biggie's toasted ravioli, steak sandwich, and waffle fries.
So you were really into the nutrition at this point. Yeah. Or was this a treat? Was this a treat?
I think it was a Friday. I think it might have been a Friday because I would only eat Biggie's on a Friday. I would eat Biggie's I'd eat Biggie's right now while we're doing this. But I just know that I'm trying to picture where me and Anna Marie lived in 2010. I know we didn't live here. I think we lived downtown. So I made the drive from downtown to Southside to pick it up. but it would be a Friday night thing. It had to be, unless it was like I got like something and I had leftovers. But yes. Oh, have you ever had Biggie's, by the way?
I went there I don't know when. I'm trying to remember. This is how I do it now. If I had to like wear a mask, if I had a mask with me. But I went there a while ago after hearing you guys talk about it. I just stopped in on like a random like Friday and sat at the bar and had a steak sandwich for lunch. And it was unbelievable.
It's so good. I love it. God, now that we're talking about it, I feel like I might have to get it tonight. Yeah,
put it in the spreadsheet. Put it in the spreadsheet,
and it'll be in the spreadsheet for real. It's really strange. I mean, I know it's really strange, but I have it, and it's not like I ever go back. This is the first time I've gone back and looked, and I don't know
What a treat for you.
Yeah, it is fun to walk down. What did I eat 11 years ago? I mean, isn't that just? It's so bizarre. It's so.
Are you like that with everything? Do you have just? Did it used to be like notebooks of stuff like my dad is so organized. He's an engineer, so I guess his brain works like this. But filing cabinets and like every credit card bill that he's paid, he's just so organized that if you asked him, you know, where is this bill for this day, every tax return, every everything, he can physically produce the hard copy of it in a couple of moments for you.
It is I actually enjoy it, but I use QuickBooks. So, and I'm like, God, I love QuickBooks because I used to build out spreadsheets for it. Now QuickBooks does everything. For like my daily fantasy, you know, I'll forward like the rosters and to the guys who are in our group after I get done building them, and like they'll see the percentages and the color coding and the, you know, roster percents, the weights, and so on and so forth, and they're just like, wow, you really put a lot into this, which makes the fact that we're terrible every week really really stand out, because it's not for lack of effort. It's pathetic.
Trying to find that edge. We're all trying to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just trying to find that edge. All right, before I let you go, we always do a draft on the show, just a quick on-the-spot, back-and-forth draft. I think last time we drafted, like, sports cities that we would buy stock in.
Yeah,
Drew Silva and I just did baseball caps. We should have brought you in for that, especially because
Caller Drew
pops on, pops on the morning after. But let's do... Do you want sports or non-sports?
I'll go non-sports.
Speaking of you and all of your data, things people hesitate to throw away.
Wow. This is nice. Well, you do good work with these things.
You know,
you never throw
even
one
if
at
you're
me, like,
even
oh,
if you're
like,
not
what?
Even if you're not sincere in that.
No, I'm being sincere.
I'll take it.
But I tell you, if I think it sucks, I'd 100% say.
But this is it's a unique exercise because you're thinking not only of your own eccentricities and the things that we all hold on to, but I guess you strike me as more of the get everything digital and more of a minimalist and you know, you don't have piles of paper sitting around. But we all have those things. Our parents, our friends, our family have things that, for whatever reason, people don't throw away, like Iggy and Playboys. So you have the number one pick, non-snake. We'll ping pong back and forth real quick. Four rounds, things people do not throw away.
God.
I talk so much about the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. We have been taking bounties for people heading over to wherever they listen to their podcasts, subscribing to the pod, leaving a 5-star review for the pod, Scoops with Danny Mac, Chris Raby Show, and then they're putting bounties out on players, and I'm sending a ton of cards out. I'm sending a ton of cards out to people every single day. I'll do the same thing if you schedule a consultation, an appointment with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates, youreyedoc.com, youreyedoc.com. .com is the website. And one of the things that I notice whenever I am dealing with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates is that it's the entire staff, the entire team, everyone working together, and they're there to help you. You shouldn't feel bad about using the resources that they have at Ophthalmology Associates. They have the very best staff. They have the very best doctors. And that's how they provide the very best in eye care. It's that simple. It's that reason why more doctors, more healthcare professionals in our area trust them than anyone else. Go to youreyedoc.com, youreyedoc.com. Call 314-966-5000. I am proud that we broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates studios here on the Chris Raby Show on scoopsatdannymac.com. Let's get back to chatting with Tim McKernan.
I want to add this because it stands out to me, because I'm in the having a young child who's just starting to give you things thing, which some of your listeners, I'm sure, will be familiar.
Here's a
with.
Stick, Daddy.
That I received a present upon returning home from the radio show today. But we were.
Did he sign up for a foursome?
He asked me what the price was. I couldn't give him the answer. He presents me with like drawings that are just awful. I mean, and when he's listening to this, they're dreadful, but he's three. I mean, what else are they going to be? I'd be odd. It'd be like his father's spreadsheets. If the drawings were good, I'd be like, oh wow, he's really talented, but that means he's going to be like doing weird crap in 15 years, So he, it's just like marker, with like a few stickers of trucks, and it's a wonderful sentiment.
It sounds like an NFT to me. You could sell that thing for like 50 grand.
So it does remind me of two things on this little anecdote, which has nothing to do with your draft, although it kind of ties, it will tie into it. I remember doing this like initially, I guess this was my entrepreneurial spirit on display on the South Side, like back when I was maybe 8 and my brother Danny was 6. And we decided we were going to just draw stuff and then sell it to my parents. And initially... Now, my mom is much different than my dad and couldn't be more loving. Not to say that my dad isn't, but he's got a certain amount of tolerance for this act. And so, after maybe like the fifth time of we come downstairs and they give us a dollar for these horrible drawings, and we're like, this is great. We're really starting to make some money. Obviously, they're only customers. My dad goes, okay, that's enough. I'm trying to watch TV here, Timmy. This crap. Go, your mother will do it. Your mother, Missy, handle this. I don't need to be buying pictures of crap here tonight. So I like that.
I'd go to an auction.
I just don't. Come on, what are we doing here tonight? I'm trying to watch it.
He's got a bush beer.
He's been selling advertising all day. He's just spent $5 on a stick figure. He's just not in a good place. So I respect that and I appreciate that. Something that stunned me as we were leaving our Florida home for flight on Sunday, I guess it was a couple days ago. I was putting some things in the trash can and I noticed Anna Marie had actually put Jameson's drawings in the trash can.
Ooh, the slasher. She came in and did the dirty work. I appreciate that. And I
looked over the refrigerator and there still were other pictures that were up, but I don't even know where these ones came from. They were actually in the trash can, and I kind of paused and I nodded and
it's
I
like
said,
the,
"Welcome
it's like the
to
the wolf
dark
in Pulp
side,
Fiction.
Sister."
Yeah, it's like the wolf in Pulp Fiction. You call her in, and she kind of just cleans up. You never know she was there,
and that's
no one's
exactly.
The wiser.
And I was like, "Wow!" So the reason that triggered that for me is like things that your kids give you. Like I don't like I all over the house. I have whether it be cards from Anna Marie to me. Cards from my parents to me, even like cards when Anna Marie was pregnant with Jameson, like my first Father's Day, even though it really wasn't. All of these things have emotional, and it doesn't necessarily make me feel good to see them. It's beautiful.
How long do you keep a greeting card?
I don't, but I guess with these I have, and so they actually make me sad. Now they're
beautiful. Bring you to the edge of an existential cliff.
But this is what I do when I talk. I go all in, man. So I'm thinking of it, and I'm because it just so happens that I don't even know. I saw a card, and I'm just like, oh, this is. So I think about that, and it is to actually take these things that mean so much, and put them in the trash. It's healthy, I think, to do it. I think it is a healthy
like a cleanse,
thing.
A purge.
It is, but it is a difficult thing physically to do it. Now, once you do it, you don't care. I keep telling my parents they need to sell their house. And my dad's like, oh, I'll be dead and gone in this thing. Your mother will never let me sell this thing.
We've got those stick pictures everywhere. We're lousy with stick pictures. They're worth a fortune.
The stick figure pictures from 30 years ago. And I think for my wife's family, it's the opposite. Her dad doesn't want to sell the house that he raised. Anna Marie's an only child, their only child in. And I'm just like, God, it's. But for me, if the time came to sell the house, I'd be like, okay, our son was born here and we've been here for almost a decade, but it's kind of a house. The memories are here. So I think I'm okay with it. So my number one pick that you asked about 50 minutes ago is the following, baseball cards.
I'm looking at a ton of them right now. I'm trying to get rid of all of them.
Are you really?
Well, I shouldn't say that.
I have a bunch from like the 1980s, but that was like the flood of the market, so it doesn't do any good.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I'm trying. So I've got, just at my parents' house where I grew up, where I've been spending some time, probably 60 boxes of cards that I haven't gone through, like sets, unopened stuff. And yeah, a lot of them from the 80s, but some of them are cool. And I've started getting into some of the new stuff, but I'm just like giving it away to buddies I know who have kids who are just like sorting them and, you know, beating them up. It doesn't matter if they're nice or not, but you know, giving them to people listen to the pod or whatever. And people, I think, are getting into them with their kids. I think you and Jameson eventually will get into maybe not baseball, maybe like, again, really expensive art or, you know, red wine. That would be more maybe what you guys share. But for the rest of us, the commoners, the blue-collar folks, you know, I'm looking at here, I know your brain works like this too. I'll pull a random baseball card.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually intrigued.
From like the 80s or 90s and give you the name. Let's see here. Oh, my God, I pulled a Darnell Coles card. I swear to God. With the Mariners.
Hey. I actually believe you because that reaction was just too like Daniel Day-Lewis in character.
I'll text you a picture of it. That's unbelievable.
I mean, what are the chances of pulling?
That is incredible. That is incredible. Here's the next one. Russ Swan.
Not familiar with his work, I don't think.
Carl Pavano.
Remember that? Who? Did you say Carl?
Carl Pavano, didn't he?
He hit on my significant other at Harry's circa 2003. And at the time, I think he was with Alyssa Milano. So I'm like, you know, A, you're trying to cuck me, bro, but B, hey, you know, what about Sam Maselli, you know? But, you know, he was making his move, and what am I going to do? He's, you know, he's worth like a billion times more than I am. He's like a full foot taller than me. I just got to let the cucking commence.
I pulled a Darnell Coles card. Wow.
That is wonderful.
All right, so baseball cards is number one. I think that's a good one, and that leaves the door open for my first pick, which is greeting cards.
Okay, which I brought up. All right.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to, again, disparage anyone or what you do, but a lot of times I feel like these just, we get them, we accumulate them. And listen, I understand they have sentimental value, but I don't think there's anything wrong with if you get a nice card from someone, reading it, saying, oh, thank you. And then throwing it away.
It's not currency.
I can't use it to trade or barter for anything in the future. So thank you for the card. Like, if we shake hands, we're not going to keep shaking hands for the next 2 hours. Like, it ends.
I support it. I think it's a strength to be able to throw them away. I think it is a strength to be able to throw them away. All right. I happen to be in, and so I'm able to look in a closet right now because I'm in a bedroom here. I don't even know what the hell this stuff is. This is like Anna Marie, like work clothes, I guess. I don't even know what this is. You pull the Darnell Coles. I'm going to tell you what's in this closet. I see. I guess it's like Anna Marie, like work clothes, I guess. I don't know. A bunch of wrapping paper and boxes. Now, here's something that people do. Yeah, this is behind the curtain of our estate. People, and I feel like this is limited mostly to like moms and grandmothers, but we'll save like the wrapping paper and the bows.
Yes, yes.
What is that? What is that about?
My mom tells stories of my grandma used to, or my grandpa wanted her to iron the wrapping paper after it was used. And like, hey, be
the Darnell Coles baseball.
Be careful. I texted you the Darnell Coles picture. Swear to God. And that was from a giant box of cards. And like wanting to be careful with the wrapping paper, or even we have unused still on the roll wrapping paper from like 20 years ago that will never get used ever, but is still in the closet with the Christmas stuff.
Because it's that's the issue. It's emotional. So
are you talking used or unused or both?
Like the bows have been used. Yeah. Not necessarily the wrapping paper.
Game used
like the
bows.
Box. Yeah, they're there.
Isn't that what Top Shot is? Yeah.
Here's something I have. Now, this isn't, because I'm trying to think, because I don't have a lot of depth on my list. I have a lot of thoughts on people.
So wrapping paper and bows weren't
it
your.
It's because that's not where I, but I have a shirt that I purchased in like, actually, I think it might have been because I was going back to Little Rock for my first TV job, the day after the Rams Super Bowl parade. And I went down to Union Station, and I got a T-shirt that I have never worn. It is in perfect condition.
Yep.
It is hanging in my closet. And I will never, I'm sure my son at some point will be like, what in the hell? Why do you have the LA Rams?
Yep.
You know, but I have that and I won't get rid of it. And it still has, even though my view of the Rams has changed over the last however many years, that to me was a great day. Cause I remember going to the parade with my friend. I remember watching the game with my friends and like celebrating that night. And
it was a big deal buying the shirt too every year for the team if they won.
So that kind of thing there.
Yeah.
That for me, I don't think that's an answer for a lot of people.
No, I think T-shirts, especially for guys, T-shirts that either you have not and will not wear or are no longer wearable. But the sports ones, I've got a Bulls one that's still new with the tag on it or whatever that I don't want to wear because I think it looks too cool. It's like the cartoon caricature style that they did in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
But so I remember, like, I had some of those. You know, when a team won, if you're a fan of the team, you would buy the official championship shirt or the hat. I don't know if people 100%. Do it anymore, but people have them. All right, that's a good second pick. My second pick, I'm going to go clothing, too. I'm going to say shoes. And what I mean is I find this, and maybe this is a hoarding problem, if I'm moving, I find that there are a bunch of pairs of shoes that I have that I don't wear for whatever reason and that I will not wear, but I don't get rid of them. I need to start purging and donating a ton of stuff, clothes, etc. But for some reason, I feel like people don't want to hold on to shoes. Even if there's, you know, old ratty gym shoes, people don't want to throw away shoes. And I think it's okay to let it go sometimes.
Oh, amen. 100%. 100%. God, I'm feeling badly that I'm not going to be able to really deliver for you. I don't have a lot. I mean, I got to walk around my house. And
well,
maybe...
no, just, I mean, you might need to think of the common folk, the street urchin.
it's like the cat created the lemmings. Now you're creating me into some guy who's like residing in
a
chateau off the eighth hole at St. Louis Country Club.
We can go emotional too. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical, tangible item. If that helps.
I'm going to walk around the house now. And
I feel like I picked a bad draft topic.
No, I legitimately liked it. I don't know where my...
All right, how about this? Can I...
The podcast? Chris, ask Anna Marie the question.
Anna Marie, what's going on?
Oh, hello.
All right, our draft topic is things that people do not or will not throw away. So Tim's first pick was old baseball cards. My first pick was greeting cards. Tim selected sports, like sports T-shirts or T-shirts you don't wear anymore. And then I said old shoes. For some reason, I always have a box of shoes when I move that I will never wear that I don't throw away.
I'm literally wearing an old pair right now because I was going to work in the yard. And you're always like, oh, I'll do something.
That's when you use
these are my yard shoes. We did hear that you throw away your child's artwork. You have no problem with that, and I appreciate that.
But I also keep a lot too. And then
but you're like you're a hired hitman. You're in a
to be organized, but it's
some have got to get cut. Yeah, they run their course.
Greeting cards is a good one, and then you don't really know what to do with those either.
I can't think of more, but I know we have a bunch of crap.
Here, you guys think for a second. I'm going to trade up, and then I'm going to give you two picks in a row.
All right.
So. My next pick, because I'm looking at it right now, boxes of old cords and cables. So my dad will have like a, and I will too, like a box of like, this is the cable that used to connect the DirecTV box to the TV. Don't have that box anymore. Don't have that TV anymore. Still might need that cable at some point.
All those remotes that go with it.
Remotes, yes. Just random piecemeal out of date electronics for some reason. They're around, usually at our parents' house, but they are around. Now, if you ever need one of those old, long, brown extension cords, I've got one for you. But cords and cables, my pick as I trade.
Nice play. I can't wait to hear your play here. What do you got?
I liked what you guys threw out there.
I don't have a lot of depth, though.
Like DVDs and books. And
that's nice.
That's a great one.
That should have been high. That was a great value pick.
Especially going to like the age of streaming and even like Kindles and stuff, and books and DVDs and stuff are a pain in the ass to move.
Yep. That's a nice play, because don't we have some of your like DVDs sitting in the living room? Right?
Yeah, Sex and the City.
When we were talking Sex and the City. Yeah, well, I go back and I'll watch.
So you've still
I'll
got the
watch
box
set. Smith, I'll go watch it, and I use him. So that's what I do.
And here's the thing, too.
Yeah, no, there was like would... Samantha was with the Smith guy.
Oh, Smith Jerry.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's my
here's
guy.
The thing, too. You would never.
Billion Harper's.
Yeah. Physical DVD. I do. If
I,
watch
I do. While you're asleep, that's what I'm doing downstairs.
And you're never going to watch them like. Because they're not like the quality that they are when you stream them on the TV, right? Like, when's the last time you think you you gave Sex and the City a spin on the old DVD carousel, Anna Marie?
I don't even know if we have a DVD player.
No, we don't.
We don't.
I got rid of the DVD player.
But now the DVDs. There you go. That was a nice collection.
Are they still displayed on a
Davis,
shelf?
Do you have a pick?
5 million Lego parts. I'm just
dizzy. All right, there it is. Jameson is dizzy, so he does not have a pick. That's what happened with some of the Rams plays. Demoff was dizzy, so that's how they had their bad draft. That he is out on drafting. I like that we actually got a value play by me walking around the house and running into the people who live here.
DVDs and books are
that's a play that could have been live in the first round that I got in the third round, and I feel good about it.
I mean, I traded up, so you've got your fourth pick now.
I know. I'm trying to think
that you can select.
I'm just trying to picture our house all this. Like, we have old, like furniture in like a storage room, and I walk in there like when I'm moving suitcases, and I go, why do we have all this crap? Or
start to accumulate like the sporting equipment, like the kids stuff, or I guess golf clubs.
I see it happening, but I see like this equipment, like our storage room, just needs to be moved out. You just got to do it.
So old furniture.
That actually is what it was. Yes.
I like that. Yeah we've got like old, like,
what are you
the
gonna
old...
go with? You're gonna go with something good, and I'm gonna be like, God, why didn't I think
I'm
that?
Gonna yeah, I'm gonna say my runner-up is like old towels again, like something like I'm never gonna use this to do anything, but it's always good to have like a bunch of old ratty towels around for like cleaning up nasty stuff. Well, I hope we don't have to. I don't do a lot of work on automobiles. I don't need towels to catch grease. I'm gonna say old sporting equipment, like old golf clubs. I'm looking at some in a closet right now, like an old set of golf clubs that you, I feel like strongly you should give them away to like First Tee program or something, where you know people can hopefully inherit my crippling hook if I give them an old driver of mine.
You have
but
an aggressive right to left trad.
I think old golf stuff, and it takes up a lot of space. Like old golf bags take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to declutter my golf bag, make it lighter, not have 8 million
good.
Things in
Dude,
the pockets.
I did it a couple weeks ago. I got a new bag. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Okay, so how about all the shit in my golf bag, something that I won't throw away? 8 million tees, old receipts, coins, old stuff in the golf bag as well. That's going to be
a nice answer. It's a nice answer. It's a nice answer. It's better than my old furniture one, but it's a nice
answer.
Yeah,
but you, I mean, DVDs and books are the steal of the draft.
Yeah, Anna Marie came through. I mean, you need to do a show with her next time.
And Dizzy, I mean, Dizzy.
Dizzy was huge. That was wonderful.
Shout out to Dizzy.
That kind of gives you an idea of what I got going on here, you know? Yeah, he's Dizzy. Why, I have no idea either, because he just walked right up to us and said, I'm Dizzy. So he really gave off no physical tell of dizziness, but nonetheless.
It's kind of a power move.
Yeah, well, it was.
You know, he's
I am dizzy
spinning out
in complete control.
Spinning out of control after watching his mother shred his latest art efforts. Tim McKernan, appreciated, man. Always fun. And I will, I'm sure, come up with something to send to you dealing with some of Iggy's latest antics very soon.
I can't wait. Thank you, sir. We'll turn the speakers up to their prayer.